Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the ordinary meeting of Devonport City Council. Today is Monday the 28th of October, and it being 5:30, we are underway. Council acknowledge and pay respects to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners and continuing custodians of this land. All persons in attendance are advised that it's Council policy to record Council meetings in accordance with Council's digital recording policy. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on Council's website for a minimum period of 6 months, and members of the public in attendance at the meeting who do not wish for their words to be recorded and or published on the website should contact a relevant Council officer and advise of their wishes. Item 1.0 is apologies, and we don't have any apologies this evening. Item 2.0, declarations of interest. Do we have any declarations of interest in any item on this agenda? Councillor Milbourne?
I have item 3.2.1.
Thank you. Are there any other declarations? Being the case, we will move on to item 3, which is item 3.1.1, Council meeting minutes, confirmation of the minutes of the 23rd of September. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
So moved.
Happy to second it, Mayor.
Councillor Perry, Councillor Laycock, Councillor Perry.
Nothing to say, Mayor.
Councillor Laycock.
Nothing to add.
Any comments, questions? Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 3.1.2 are the minutes of the special council meeting on the 21st of October. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
So moved, if no one else will.
Second.
Councillor Perry, Councillor Murphy, Councillor Perry.
Merely procedural, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy.
Again. Nothing further to add there.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate that. Any other comments? Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 3.2 is public question time. Item 3.2.1, we have responses from the previous questions raised at prior meetings. Do I have a mover of that recommendation, please?
I moved.
Councillor Hollister.
I'll second that.
Oh, beg your pardon. Councillor Hollister.
Nothing further to add. It's all in the recommendation and in the agenda.
Councillor Perry.
Questions adequately answered. Nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Hollister to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Milbourne. Item 3.2.2 are questions on notice from the public. Do I have a mover of that recommendation, please?
I move.
Councillor Hollister. Do I have a seconder?
Second.
Councillor Innes, thank you. Councillor Hollister?
Nothing further to add.
Thank you. Councillor Innes?
Nothing further.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Hollister, to close, thank you.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 3.2.3, questions without notice from the public. This...
I don't have that here. It's not here. Thank you. We both don't have it. That's all right. We've also got our agenda.
So. Okay, thank you. Item 3.2.3 is questions without notice from the public, which is the opportunity for members of the public to ask questions. A reminder that I ask you to state your name and address, that a maximum of two questions are permitted, and I would remind you that there is a three-minute limit. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Right. Trevor Smith, 7 Glen Court, Devonport. I wish to submit these questions in relation to file 35817. Response to question 2A. In your reply, you infer that this system of the choir staging is safe and foolproof for the elderly ratepayers of Devonport. It is totally safe to use. If it is totally safe to use, why did you have to have two casual assisting the elderly patrons onto and off the different levels of the stage? There was no standard height step from floor level to first floor riser, which should have been 220 mils high. Not a piece of 50 mil aluminium, less than the Australian standard height, to step up onto the platform. If this council can afford to write off between $200,000 and $300,000 from profit of place, surely you could spend less than that to have a proper stage where the elderly patrons of Devonport could easily walk onto. As I said before with this question, if they can do it at the Don Centre Church, which they held at previous years, where the gospel song was held, without the help onto the stage, it should be able to happen here. Spend the money on the safety of the ratepayers of Devonport instead of wasting money elsewhere in the living city. You also mentioned in your reply that this setup was at the request of the hirer. Who is the hirer of the Gospel Hall, Gospel Song Event Jazz Festival that uses ratepayer funding? Right, there's a quick one here. Could you please explain why you did invite the Advocate reporter to last month's ordinary council meeting on the 23rd and 9th, 19? You have had the Advocate reporter attend the last six or so agenda meetings here. Where was your media advisor as well, who was paid by the ratepayers of Devonport?
Mr. Smith, the Advocate and all media are welcome to come to any council meeting. It's their decision.
Yeah, I said about you also about your media advisor.
It's their decision when they choose to come.
Does your media advisor get paid?
Our media advisor is paid, and our media advisor is entitled to leave the same as every other staff member. Thank you.
We seem to be getting further back each month. Malcolm Gardam, 4 Beaumont Drive, Mindetta. The following was submitted as separate questions on notice for this meeting. A, what is the capital expenditure write-down value for the Waterfront Precinct Hotel, Lot 1 land sale to Fairbrother? B, what is the capital expenditure write-down value for the new Waterfront Park Lot 2 area? The DCC response: to enable the waterfront stage of the Living City Master Plan to progress in 2018-19, Council demolished the building located at 2026 Best Street and decommissioned the adjacent car park, resulting in a loss on derecognition of $2.9 million. I find the response sufficiently ambiguous and does not respond separately to each question as requested. However, based on the above response referring to the Harris Scarf building, 2026 Best Street, does Council agree that the proportion of the write-down value specifically applying to just a section of the Harris Scarf site, sold to Fairbrother, approximately 630 square metres, as part of Lot 1 would equate to an over $700,000 write-down value in its own right, and if not, then provide a copy of Council's calculations?
Thank you, Mr. Gardam. I'll take it on notice. I don't have that calculation in my head.
No, thank you. I have asked it before in a different way, but yes, I look forward to the response. Thank you. Question two. Subject to the Auditor General exposing the existence of a success fee applying to the development manager and Council only just now confirming an amount of $1.3 million was paid in the 2016-17 financial year as part of a near $2 million payment to P plus I, was the commencement of the food pavilion construction a condition precedent to payment of the said lease fee?
I'll assume you want that on notice, Mr. Gardam. Thank you.
No, you can answer it now.
I will take
it
on notice.
You probably would know. The Deputy General Manager would know.
I will take it on notice. Thank you.
Thank you. Third question, time permitting. Thank you.
Are there any other questions from the gallery?
Bob Vallecotton, the Grieve financial ratepayer. Mayor and councillors, employment of a public relations consultant. I note in the agenda the 28th of October 2019, that's to item 3.22, page 11, that the response to Mr Malcolm Garden's question if council had received specialist advice re the Providore Place head lease agreement, the response was, and I quote, council did receive some assistance from an external public relations consultant in preparing the release information. This seems strange because if the project is as good as council has continually reminded ratepayers, then surely a public relations consultant would not have been needed. My question, will the mayor please enlighten us all to just why council felt it necessary to engage a public relations consultant at ratepayers' cost to assist council in disclosing matters that are no more than a belated offering having been sprung by the Auditor General to comply with its obligations under the Code of Conduct and the Local Government Act in being transparent and accountable? Question here.
That was the question. Oh, I beg your pardon, Mr. Vallecotton. That was at my request and at my expense. Thank you.
At your expense?
Yes.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. It's nice. Would have been good if it was included. Thank you. Question two. In the response to a question from Mr. Keyes at the September meeting about who will be responsible for the shortfall of the income due to council writing off some $500,000 in rent payments due from Providore Place Devonport Proprietary Limited. Council stated that the loss figure quoted in the Advocate was incorrect. Given the previous statements from the former mayor, a former alderman and the deputy general manager, as well as from some council members, about the assurance and confidence of having a 10-year $400,000 per annum revenue income agreement, as well as when ratepayers found out later that this was in fact a base rent of $280,000 with little possibility of uplift. Would it be fair, Mayor, to say that the front page headline statement attributed to reporter Ms. Libby Bingham in the Advocate of the 13th of September 2019 was indeed factual if she had based her report on what has now been proven to have been misleading, if not fraudulent, information and statements from the past and present members of council?
I find those remarks to be offensive and improper, and I won't accept that question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other
questions
from the
gallery? That's my
opinion of it. Thank you. I understand that it's your opinion. This is question time. Thank you, Mr. Vallecotton.
Thank you, Mayor Rockcliffe. My name's Douglas Janney, 23 Watkinson Street, Devonport. First question. Recently, there have been a number of zebra crossings installed in Devonport. A zebra crossing is there so that the pedestrians may cross the road safely. My research shows that zebra crossings apply to roads, not footpaths. However, there are three instances of zebra crossings installed on footpaths. When driving into or out of a driveway, you must give way to pedestrians on the footpath. Question is, please advise the regulations, standards and codes that apply to the use of zebra crossings on footpaths, and in the instance of standards and codes, please provide the text and document name.
Thank you, Mr. Jenny. I will take that on notice.
Question two. Part of the CDB has no pay parking spaces. Getting a handicapped person into and out of the smart clinics in Wenvo Street and William Street is not easy. When is the council going to provide two non-pay parking spaces outside these and other doctors' clinics?
Thank you, Mr. Jenny. We'll take that on notice and get back to you as well. Thank you.
And I have a third question, if time permits.
Thank you.
Good evening, councillors. Jenny Clare, ratepayer of Devonport. What hard evidence...
Ms Clare, I need you to state your address or give it. Make sure you give it...
It's written down, but I prefer not to say it
thank you.
Out loud. What hard evidence does our council have that the expenditure of $17 million on the waterfront park will deliver benefits to our city commensurate with the cost?
Ms Clare, that question has been asked and answered on several occasions.
I asked this question at the last meeting, but it wasn't answered.
I will follow that through and I'll get back to you.
Okay. And my second question is also about the... it starts off with the mall. In Devonport, we have a mall that is home to 56 large green poles. As always, we can't be sure exactly what people think, but anecdotal evidence suggests that the people of Devonport are not too keen on these poles. In fact, I would suggest that I'm not alone in having a deep dislike of these poles, and the fact that they are now chipped and faded isn't improving the situation. Those who have looked at the waterfront plan in detail will have noticed that not only does it have a toilet block adjacent to a barbecue right beside the water with picnic tables a few metres from the toilet doors, it has a feature of poles. These poles lead into the water and are apparently a nod from the architect to the maritime history of Devonport and intended to be reminiscent of a jetty. So my question tonight is, does our council really intend to inflict more poles on the people of Devonport, or are they merely part of the artist's impression which may be omitted?
Thank you. Mr Atkins?
Yes, through you, Mayor, I can just confirm those poles were actually removed as part of the value management process, so won't be constructed.
So they won't be there? Okay. Thank you. I'll foreshadow a third question if possible.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who hasn't asked a question who would choose to? Thank you.
Tony Butler, 2 Drew Street, East Devonport.
Thank you, Mr. Butler.
I've brought up Bass Street for 20 years, what was going to happen to it and whatever, and nothing's really happened to it, only that it's cleaner, thanks to my lawnmower. And we now still have people working and spraying cars in there of a daytime, not all day and all night. I rang council and a Mrs Stone said they'd get back to me. That was about 3 weeks ago. Not even a fly on stone's come past. So it either needs a sign put there, no parking, or no work to be taken out on cars there.
So that is your question. Will we follow that up?
Yes, please.
We will follow that up.
Derelict houses. I live next to one that if you walked outside, you can nearly smell it now. So how do I get on to who does something about it? You can't find the owner. Anyone can go in them and live, as long as the bank gets their money. It is putrid. Okay. Rats, dog feces, dirt. It's unoccupied, and it shouldn't be like it is. Somebody should be at least cleaning the yard, but the smell's coming out of the house.
Thank you, Mr. Butler. We'll follow up with you with the address and what steps we can take. As I'm sure you understand, these sorts of things are a process, but we will get back to you and follow up on that address. Thank you. Mr. Goodwin.
Grant Goodwin, 149 Winspears Road, East Devonport. The question will be to the to you, Mayor, and quite a little bit of preamble to start with. Did any person in council, insofar as you know, and this is not so much the current council but the previous one, have any knowledge, this is the Mayor of the day, the Deputy Mayor, and so on, and any of the aldermen of the day, have any knowledge whatsoever of the decision-making of the Woolworths Board in relation to the sustainability and the future rollout of Big W stores throughout Australia? Much has been said in this hallowed place by the gentleman on the left here about the failure of the Living City project to attract these big developments, and, of course, much has been made of it. But in all fairness, I doubt anybody had any knowledge whatsoever of the Big W board and what they were thinking, well, not so much the Big W board, but the Woolworths board, in the rollout. Mayor, did anyone know?
Not to my knowledge, Mr Goodwin. I certainly know that we had lots of conversations with them about encouraging them when they intended to expand, that we wanted it to be here. As far as, I guess, a board of directors of a company like that, they would play their cards fairly close to their chest, I would assume.
I would think they would. So the answer in that, to that question, Mayor, would be no.
To my knowledge,
Mr Goodwin. Second question, if I may, and this is in relation to the current situation with the General Manager. And what's the cost going to amount in relation to the replacement of the General Manager? The process involved. Have we got a cost on that, Mayor?
I don't have a direct cost at this point. As there obviously will be a cost involved.
Indeed there will, yeah.
Thank you.
And who will be paying?
Those of us who pay our rates.
Mayor. Yeah, thank you. And thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the gallery who have not yet asked a question? Who would like to? In which case, I'll go back to Mr. Gardam first. Oh, apologies, Mr. Smith.
Yep. Right, back to file 35817, question 2. In regards to the revolving door, why did the council decide to use a revolving door when the use of self-opening doors have a quicker flow of patrons entering a building and leaving the building at the same time? Like Coles and Kmart Devonport, why was a revolving door not installed at the Rook Street entrance, eastern side of the Parramatta building, if it was so efficient? At the old council chambers building in Best Street, you had ordinary automatic doors there from when the building was built. One of the non-revolving doors is only used as an exit, not an entrance, only from the inside. Why isn't there a green button on the outer side for patrons to use to put access into the building like the western side door?
Mr. Smith, there were several questions there. I will take it on notice. Thank you.
That's only the one.
Thank you. Mr. Gardam.
I'm staggered that you didn't know what was going on in the retail business when you pay $5.2 million for a development manager that would keep you informed. But maybe you can argue councillors weren't told. My question 3. The following was submitted as separate questions on notice for this meeting. A. Did Council obtain independent legal advice regarding the nature and effect of the contents of the Waterfront Hotel Preferred Developer 2-year exclusivity agreement with Fairbrother? B. Did Council obtain independent legal advice regarding the nature and effect of the contents of the agreement or amendments to the existing agreement that provided an additional 18-month exclusivity extension to the existing 2-year exclusivity period afforded Fairbrother, which expires in October now, without any guarantee that the hotel will be built? Council's response. Council has engaged independent legal advice relating to its contractual agreement with Fairbrother. I find the response somewhat vague, and accordingly I'll rephrase the question.
Mr. Gardam.
Yes?
That question has been asked and answered. I will ask you to sit down. Thank you.
I'm rephrasing the question. This has not been asked, Madam Chair.
You just ask me a question that you already had an answer in writing, Mr.
No,
Gardam.
I
will ask you to sit down now. Thank you.
I have a question, Madam Chair. This has not been asked before.
And I refuse to accept it. Thank you, Mr. Gardam. Mr. Bellicott, did you have a question?
Um, I'm staggered, Madam Chair.
Oh, no, you're already
staggered. Really will run and hide, you lot, I tell you.
Thank
you.
And you wonder why. Thank you. Mr. Bellacott.
Thank you, Mayor. In reference to Council's response to my question, one on notice for this meeting, to Mr. Hurst's statement in the Advocate of the 15th of October that, and I quote, the original lease with Council specifically stated rent to be paid from operational profits. And I also refer to my question three on notice about the Project and Infrastructures Manager, Mr. Wolfe's response in the Auditor General's report of September 2019 that stated he advised Council against a head lease agreement. Council's responses, as per the agenda of tonight, that's the 28th of October 2019, the Council, had a different interpretation of the head lease agreement to Mr. Hurst, and the response provided by Mr. Wolfe, included in the Auditor General's report, does not concur with Council's recollections of discussions. Mayor, Council's responses to the issues raise serious questions. Who do we believe? And importantly, was the head lease agreement so poorly and ambiguously drafted that a clear determination as to the rental conditions prevailing could not be ascertained, and the primary reason for engaging legal advice to protect ratepayers' interests?
I will take that as comment. Thank you, Mr. Vellacott.
It was really a question. Thank you.
The question has already been answered. I will accept that as comment. Ms. Clare, did you have a third question?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. At the start of the Living City project, it was stated that it would be funded by private investment. So when the people of Devonport gave their support to this project, it was on that basis. We now find ourselves with a debt of over $50 million. So it's difficult to see how our council ever had a mandate from Devonport ratepayers to engage in that level of spending. The council has an opportunity to now to reduce that debt figure by not continuing with the waterfront park in its present form. It could be modified to reduce the cost. It is said that only a small minority of people oppose the park, but in reality, we don't really know what the numbers are and whether our council has a mandate from the people of Devonport to go ahead or not. So my question, Mayor, tonight is, will our council hold another survey and after having ensured that respondents are aware of the debt and the details of the design of the park, ask the question, do you want your council to build the waterfront park? And so that's my question.
We have consulted widely that we have we don't intend to enter into any more debt for the waterfront park, and that's been made quite clear, that we have a $10 million federal government grant as part of that expenditure. And that I take your first comment around the fact that it would always be all private investment. That was never the understanding. It was always that most of it would be, and any further development would be, but that council and state and federal government would be doing part of the beginning of the project, and that's what's happened.
So state and federal as well as council?
Yes.
Because I can remember hearing Royce Fairbrother down at the CMAX cinema.
Oh, are you? I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Are you talking about the hotel?
I'm talking about the first part was about the whole of the project.
Because there's two very different things.
Well, it's all part of the one project. And what my point is that initially we were told that it was going to be privately funded, the whole project.
It was never stated that it would all be.
It was never stated that it would be a $50 million debt. Can we agree on that?
And it isn't a $50 million debt.
It says in this agenda that the council debt is $50 million.
Yes, but not for this project.
But
that's our total debt for all of the other projects that we have as well.
Okay, so we'll say $45 million or whatever it is for Living City.
33 for this.
33.
Mm-hmm. For this building?
No, but for the whole of Living City.
Yeah.
So it's 33. So doing...
Can I ask my Deputy General Manager
through you,
to clarify
Madam Mayor, just
that
to clarify, yeah, Ms Clare said debt for Living City was over $50 million. That's incorrect. The total debt for Stage 1 ended up at about $33 million, $6 million under what Council had originally forecast.
Right.
There was also a number of properties that Council purchased and borrowed against, and I think the debt on that was around $11 million. Just looking to Kim.
So is that added to the 33?
So that's the total debt that's been borrowed for Living City. The remainder of Council's debt relates to a number of other projects, including the Surf Club, Formby Road and the Splash redevelopment.
Could I just clarify that? Were you adding the $11 million to the 33, or was that part of
the
33?
No, the 11's in addition to the 33.
So that's 41?
No,
because you've got, really 44. Got to count the buying of those buildings as part of Living City, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's 41. So, or anyway, whatever the figure is, it's a way bigger figure than what people had thought was going to be spent. And so my point is, I know that the cash in hand is there, but that cash in hand could be used to pay down the debt.
That and wouldn't happen. If you're talking about the $10 million federal
No,
funding.
No, the $7 million that the council's going to add to that to make it 17.
I'll
and
take that
5 minutes ago it was $5
million. I'll take that as comment. Thank you.
Thank you,
Ms Clare. That being it, Mr Janney, I'll let you sneak in.
Thank you, Mayor Rockcliffe. I notice that the annual financial report is in tonight's agenda. I understand the annual report will be presented on the 9th of December this year. This will be the second year that the Council presents the annual report in December. Previous 4 years, 14 through 17, the occasion was from early to late October, so the Council's performance in this matter has slipped. Question is, what are the causes for such late presentation?
Can I suggest that most of it is due to the fact that we've only just received the audited reports, but I do take it on board. I don't know whether the Acting General Manager wants to add anything to that comment.
Only three, Mayor. The intention is that on the 9th of November we'll have the...
December.
The 9th of November we'll have the annual report ready to make public. And
9th of when?
9th of November. It'll be advertised and made public, and submissions will be received up to a couple of weeks before the meeting, and the meeting will be on the 9th of December.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, I didn't mean to correct you. I should have. Right, moving along. Notices of motion. I have a notice of motion at 3.4.1, re tourism and transport from Councillor Innes. So moved.
Thank you. Motion.
I'll ask you to move the motion and the seconder, and then you can speak to it.
Happy to second that, Mayor.
Thank you. Floor's yours, Mr. Innes.
I just move this motion because I just believe that our city has got some wonderful tourism venues and activities, and what we need to have is something unique and something that people will be proud of for our city. I reckon it'll be a draw card for tourists, be they local or from interstate or overseas. It's a matter of linking up the wonderful things that we have in our city and showcasing them. And what I would suggest to people would that if they'd support this motion, that we could have a workshop and look very carefully at how, in the best way, that we could present it and have it and make our city even better.
Thank you. Councillor Innes. Councillor Laycock.
Thank you,
Mayor.
Just checking. I'm not sure whether... Is that on?
Yes.
Thank you. No. Do commit.
I do commit Councillor Innes
It's a very good motion. It's something that we have discussed here at this council table for some time. And we've got a lot of facilities, so it would be... Thank you. I don't know whether to start again or not. I'll just say that I do commend Councillor Ennis for putting this motion forward. Look forward to the workshop. This is something that I think our city needs. We've got a lot of great attractions happening, and we've got a couple at, you know, Home Hill and the Don River Railway that can link into this. And as far as the Arboretum, it's a really good idea, Councillor Ennis, to put this forward. By the time Stage 2 is completed, the Don River Railway should have their train running into Devonport. So you can just see how it will complement one another. If there's a bus or a buggy, whatever it's going to be, going around the city to all the facilities, added to that, the Don River train coming right into the city, I think you're on a winner there, and I'd be happy to support that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Jarman.
Thank you. Look, I'm pleased it's going to a workshop level. It'll be interesting to see once we get the information about the costs and all that involved, and I'm sure that's why Councillor Ennis has thought of putting it to a workshop first. You said that you'd like a unique vessel. Perhaps we must find out where the Titanic is now. Well done.
Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Yeah, I'm going to support Councillor Ennis's motion. I think it's a good motion, and it comes on the back of incredible growth that Devonport's experiencing, both anecdotally and factually. And most people in Devonport understand that, and that we're at that level, we're at the stage where we need to provide these sort of facilities and these sort of attractions to enhance our tourism destination as a tourist destination, and we continue to grow at far greater levels than other towns along the coast, and that will continue to happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Ennis to close.
I think that once we investigate this and push forward with it, as I hope would happen, I think it will be fantastic for... we have thousands of people arrive on the Spirit, and coming into our city, it would be just another attraction to keep people involved and keep people around our city and enjoying everything that we have here. So consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 4.0 is planning authority matters, of which we have none this evening. Item 5.0, 5.1 is reports. 5.1 is the Auditor General's report, and I have a recommendation on page 32. Do I have a mover, please?
So moved.
Councillor Murphy.
Second.
Councillor Jarman. Councillor Murphy.
Look, obviously there's been quite a lot of media attention around this particular report, and I think we don't have too many other options but to implement the recommendations from that. They're quite clear there, so the sooner we get on and do that, the better it will be.
Thank you. Councillor Jarman.
Yeah, I accept the report. I find that obviously we have a victim of that report. That's a shame to say, but I suppose we need to move on. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Yeah, I support the mover of the recommendation. Also, would like to point out again that at June 30, 2019, the actual cost of Stage 1 of Living City was $70.1 million against a budget of $71.1 million. So we've actually come in $1 million under budget, which for size of that, for a project of that size is an incredible effort, and particularly by a public utility such as a city council. So I don't think enough has been made of that fact, and while we swim around in the weeds on lots of other issues, that's an incredible achievement and one that I'm really proud of, and our staff should be really proud of. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Perry. Are there any other comments? Councillor Hollister.
Yes, I concur with the previous speakers. I think that people should remember that the Auditor General, virtually came out and said that council had done everything in a correct manner. There was a couple of things they felt that the Local Government Act should be changed to make things a bit more simpler than what we actually did, but they haven't changed the legislation at this stage, so I can concur with previous speakers.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.2 is the annual financial report. Do I have a mover of that recommendation, please?
So moved.
Councillor Milbourne, do I have a seconder?
I'll second it.
Councillor Perry, thank you. Councillor Milbourne.
I think we've spoken about the main points already. It's all in the report.
Thank you. Councillor Perry.
I concur with Councillor Milbourne's comments and also note on page 87 that the net community equity has grown by $12 million since the 2018 year. That again is a credit to council and should be highlighted by those that need to know. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Milbourne to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.3 is a tender report on contract CTO261 Stewart Street Renewal. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
So moved.
Councillor Perry, do I have a seconder?
Second.
Councillor Innes. Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. It's all in the report, and I note we've come in with a total budget of $343,000, or total price, I should say, of $343,000, including the contingency. And I do note that the budget in the 2019-20 capital expenditure was for $405,000. So we've come in $62,000 under our budget, again highlighting the financial prudence of council. So well done again to the team. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Innes?
Nothing further.
Any other comments, questions? Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.4 is the tender report for contract CTO269, which is stage two of Winspears Road renewal. Do I have a mover of the recommendation? Councillor Jarman and Councillor Inizio. Thank you. Councillor Jarman.
Yeah, just a question. Obviously, there's a big difference between the first contractor price and the second, the last, sorry. Thank goodness for Walters. Obviously, they've been awarded the contract. But would there be a reason why there's such a big difference? Was it a misinterpretation of what we wanted? Or?
I'll ask.
Yes, through you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Look, you know, we've looked pretty closely at that. There's obviously a big difference between the two. There's a number of factors we think that have contributed. Certainly, Hardings and Trelaws have got a lot of work on at the moment, which may have influenced their tender price. And also, Walters have got access to a quarry, and there's quite a bit of gravel in that. Or they own their own quarry, so there's quite a bit of gravel in the project. So they're obviously getting the material perhaps at a much reduced rate to what some of the others are. We've done a number of referee checks on them, and we're confident that that we should go with them.
Yeah, we might see more from them in the future then. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Alexia.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm looking forward to Spears Road renewal stage two to go ahead, and I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I note that initially it was assumed that the remaining section of the Winspears Road renewal would be over two financial years and not one. But with this one, $27,000 over budget, but by doing both sections instead of one, it was once again an incredible achievement. And they've been able to do that. And this will, in the second year, that will no longer happen, creates less disruption to the public, lower overhead costs, and allow the contractors to get on with completing the whole section rather than a little bit over half. So, again, a good result. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Jarman to close.
Consider it closed. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.0 is information. 6.1 is workshops and briefing sessions held since the last meeting. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
So moved.
Seconded.
Jarman, Councillor Murphy. Councillor Jarman.
Just a question on that. Have we been to see the senior citizens since our workshop?
Yes.
I must get a bit of a information on how that went.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy.
Purely administrative.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Jarman to close.
I consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.2 is the Mayor's monthly report. Do I have a mover, please?
Mayor, yes.
Councillor Laycock, do I have a seconder? Councillor Alexio. Councillor Laycock.
You've been very busy again, Mayor. You're out and about at everything that's going. Very interested in the meeting with yourself and the Acting General Manager, who met with Minister Shelton. He's the local government minister and the police minister for fire and emergency. Is there anything you're able to share? Was it a good meeting? Or
It was actually at our invitation. He had asked for an update on Living City and asked us to send something, so we felt that it would be more prudent for him to come to actually see building and the what we've been doing, because as you all know, he's the very new minister for local mm-hmm. government and hasn't really been involved in the process, so he came for a tour and a bit of a chat. Pretty much it.
That's good. Any else there you'd like to touch on? As I said, you've been very busy. You've been just about,
I guess, the opportunity to open several conferences that have been held here has been a privilege. There was the National Underage Squash Championships. There were 160 participants plus their family, and we had dinner for almost 300 of them upstairs. They're looking to come back very soon for another championship.
That's very good to note, isn't it? And I did read, I don't think I heard on the radio, I read it somewhere recently, you know, what a huge convention centre for 100 people. But I'd just like to remind everybody that huge room will actually divide into smaller rooms. So it becomes multi-purpose for that sort of thing. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Alexio.
Nothing further to add there, Madam Mayor. Great job.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Perry?
I just want to say full credit to you, Mayor, for what you're doing under very difficult circumstances to be able to attend that many functions and be present at that many functions in what's been a pretty difficult month and 6 months perhaps is full credit to you. And, you know, some of us are inspired by your leadership and keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Councillor Laycock.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.3 is General Manager's report for October. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
So moved.
Seconded.
Councillor Perry, Councillor Milbourne, Councillor Perry.
It's all in the report again, Mayor, and I do note the Fairbrother quarterly report. The key targets that we're at this stage to formalise the commercial aspects and execute the agreement in November, site mobilisation in December, and commence site preparation and excavation, which in layman's terms is shoveling the ground in December of 2019 as well. So I'm really looking forward to that coming to fruition and we push on and grow. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Milbourne.
I'd like to point out the demographer in the report, Dr. Lisa Denny, that the population change within Tasmania is actually plateauing and declining in some areas. However, Devonport is looking at increasing a little bit, but increasing. So that's positive to note. Nothing further.
Thank you. Any other comments, Councillor Laycock?
Thank you, Mayor. I'll try and keep my hand on a comment regarding the ratepayers' luncheon that we do host for our ratepayers that have paid rates for more than 50 years. Only a small amount of people attended, but I can tell you there was a lot of great feedback at that meeting about what our council's doing, because like yourself, I moved around a few of the tables, but a lot of feedback came in later, which was interesting, about the goings-on in council in the last few months. But very importantly, some of the people hadn't been in the Parranapple Centre before and you're able to explain to them. So it's good for the council to get a pat on the back for that, because not all councils do that for their ratepayers. And I think those people that have paid rates for 50 years do deserve something. So let's just hope that this council can continue that. Thank you.
Thank you. And acknowledge Mr. Janney for his suggestion some years ago. Any other comments, Councillor Perry, to close?
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.4 is the report on the Code of Conduct panel determination. Do I have a mover, please?
Am I able to move this?
I think probably no reason why you can't.
Right, I shall move it then.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder?
Second.
Councillor Ennis, I'm assuming you don't need to say much else.
I'm not happy with the outcome of this Code of Conduct panel. They've virtually turned me into a victim. And I know I feel that I need to look into the legal aspects and see if whether I should sue in the first instance on two items. And then I also need to look at the Supreme Court to see whether I need
to. Councillor Hollister, I would ask you to speak specifically to the recommendation. Thank you.
Well, I've nothing further to say then. It was all in Saturday's Advocate.
Thank you. Councillor Ennis.
Nothing further to add.
Thank you. Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Yeah, I'm hearing Councillor Hollister. I can't support the recommendation just on principle alone. So I'll be voting against it. Thank you.
Any other comments? Councillor Laycock?
Yes, sometimes. Yes, I totally. I know. Thank you. I agree with the former speaker, Councillor Perry. It's a very sad day when this sort of thing happens. It's very difficult to sit here when members of the public gallery can speak down to us and yet one comment's made and a code of conduct has gone through. So I too won't be supporting the motion.
Thank you. I would remind everyone that this is simply receiving and noting the code of conduct. It's in no way endorsing the report. It's simply a process that we have to go through once that code of conduct has been completed. However, your right to vote is your right to vote. Councillor Hollister to close.
Mayor.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Councillor Murphy.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to clarify that point. So we either need to vote for noting the report so that we've actually received the report, or we are not going to receive the report. Can I just get that clarified?
The recommendation is that Council receive and note the Code of Conduct Panel Determination Report. It doesn't say anything about us endorsing it, agreeing with it.
So it's purely just an administrative function then?
I'll seek
clarification. Yes, through you, Mayor. As part of the Code of Conduct process, once the determination report's been received by the General Manager, his obligation is to put it on the next Council agenda, and Council's role is to just receive and note it, not to make any... not to form any view on the matter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Did you have a question?
Madam Mayor. That being the case, and I understand that, what are the ramifications if the recommendation is not accepted?
Yeah, Yeah, through you, Mayor. Look, the obligation is for it to be put on the agenda. It's put on the agenda and it's there for council to receive a note or not. There's, I don't believe there's any ramifications.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Hollister to close.
I feel as though I've been gagged, so nothing further to add.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Aye. Those against?
Nay.
I will ask for a show of hands. Those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor in favour, Councillor Murphy, Councillor Rockliffe, Councillor Alexio, Councillor Ennis, Councillor Jarman. Thank you. Those against? Councillor Laycock, Councillor Milbourne, Councillor Perry and Councillor Hollister. The motion is carried. Thank you. Thank you. Moving along to item 7.0 is section 23, committee meetings. 7.1 is the Infrastructure Works and Development Committee minutes. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
So move.
Second.
Councillor Murphy, Councillor Jarman. Councillor Murphy.
It's all in the report.
Thank you.
Another administrative function.
Thank you, Councillor Jarman. Thank you. Do I have any comments, questions? Councillor Murphy to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
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 Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 7.2 is the minutes of the Planning Authority Committee meeting of the 21st of October. Do I have a mover, please?
So moved.
Councillor Perry, Councillor Milbourne, Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. It's just an accurate reflection of what happened at that meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Milbourne.
Purely procedural, nothing further to add.
Thank you. Any comments? Councillor Jarman?
Well, on principle, I don't agree with POC 2119, which is pretty obvious, so I will vote against that. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have any other comments, questions? Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against?
Nay.
I will ask for a show of hands. Those in favour? Councillor Laycock, Councillor Milbourne, Councillor Murphy, Councillor Perry, Councillor Rockliffe, Councillor Alexio, Councillor Ennis, Councillor Hollister. Those against? Councillor Jarman, the motion is carried. Thank you. That's it. I'll ask for a motion to move into closed session. Councillor Perry. Councillor Milbourne. Thank you. No comments? I will put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against?
Aye.
I will ask for a show of hands, please. All those in favour of moving into closed session, please raise your hands. Councillor Laycock, Councillor Milbourne. Councillor Perry, Councillor Rockliffe, Councillor Ennis, Councillor Hollister, those against the motion to move in. Sorry, were you for that motion? Sorry, Councillor Murphy as well. Those against. Councillor Alexio, Councillor Jarman, the motion's carried. Thank you. That being the case, we bring the open session of the meeting to a close at 6:28. Thank you, everyone.